Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Cannabis Commission redo. Also, redistricting, can they get it right? And what do white nationalists, fascists, and book burners have in common?
Who's for Eva Braun here? Who wants to burn books? Who wants to spit on the Constitution of the United States of America? Anybody?
The scary thing is, there's a lot of them. All this and much, much more coming up next on The Bee. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, y'all.
Hi. You know, some people have asked why I call you research guru extraordinaire.
They have.
Because there's nothing that Susan can't find if you put her down there with a glass of tea and maybe some popcorn and let her go after it, she can find it. And if she can't find it, Josh will.
Oh, yeah. We make quite a formidable team.
Yeah, you give us a internet connection, and then we'll find the rabbit hole that leads to you.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Not much of a rabbit hole here.
Oh, God.
Tommy Tuberville has been in the news
for weeks now.
And he's been digging and digging and digging. And then finally, after they had a Senate caucus meeting luncheon, the GOP got together and spanked that bottom. And he came out and said, oh, white nationalists are racist. But Tommy's been in the news because he defended white nationalists, said they were Americans. And, you know, Patrick Darrington, who is a reporter that works for Alabama Political Reporter, he happens to be black. And he said, well, historically, Tuberville is right.
With the exceptions of a few Germans, I would say. Listen, I know why he's doing it. Okay, I know why he's doing it. He's doing it for attention from a base of voters, and he's trying to stick up for people who believe they have been unfairly maligned because they don't necessarily agree that there is a white privilege to this country. I think I could dispute that in a matter of 15 seconds, and we could look back and we could trace the history of this country, and we could find where there is, in fact, white privilege that has given many of us, myself included, a lot of advantages in this country. I wrote about how this advantage is has given me opportunities that I would not have. Is going to give my daughter opportunities that black friends of hers will not have because of the lack of wealth and the history that's there. So that's what he's doing. And they're playing upon this aggrieved white person's sympathy that's out there. And he just has no shame up until the point where he realized this might cost him personally. And then, oh, wait, it is, in fact, racism. How about that?
Well, Tommy Tuberville has, as a close friend of his said, or used to be a close friend of his, this thing was needing to be relevant. He always needs to be relevant. He needs to be relevant with the military. He needs to be relevant, with the white nationalists and keep his name in the news.
Well, if you think about it, Josh, he was a washed-up football coach.
Yes.
He was way past his prime. He was nearly 70 years old, which today, 70 is the new 50.
Yeah.
But the fact is, this guy wants to be a star. He likes the adulation. He likes the attention. You know, he has some 4 million Twitter followers because of Donald Trump. You remember he said Donald Trump made him a national figure because he helped Trump form an insurrection against the United States of America. So if that's what you want to be famous for, Tommy, you have achieved that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the words of Senator Katie Britt, Tommy, let me say this. White supremacy and racism have absolutely no place in our country, period, the end.
Well, yeah. And Josh, you know, it is just simply a older white man trying to remain relevant past his prime.
Yeah, and it's really, honestly, he is kind of the embodiment of the white privilege that I spoke of before. He has no set of skills to hold the position that he has, other than the fact that he's white and a little bit racist. You know, I mean, that's really the qualifications that he's got for this job that he's in. He didn't know the three branches of government. He doesn't know how most things work. He's held up military promotions over ideology. I mean, it's just a litany of problems that he has caused for our state. And let me tell you, that's the biggest problem we have here, is that Tommy Tuberville is doing things that's going to cost Alabama in the future.
That's right.
Write it down, mark it down. It's going to cost us.
Oh, no. And he lives in Florida. Why could he give a crap about Alabama anyway?
Well, and you know, I've heard from people from D.C. recently who said, believe me, payback is coming. Payback is coming. And there's no payback to Tommy Tuberville.
No.
But Tommy, the payback will be Space Command, FBI headquarters, or other programs that mean something to the livelihood of the men and women of Alabama.
And because of him, the Marine Corps, after all these years, does not have a commandant.
Yeah.
Does not. The Marine Corps does not have a commandant.
Well, in the plus column over here, the Cannabis Commission has decided to do a do-over, Josh. They want to redo the process, but not before complaining about that the media had brought up how they had screwed up the process thoroughly.
Yeah, and so they're going to do the same process. This is the we're going to start calling them the Insanity Commission. Isn't that the definition of insanity, when you continue to do the same thing and expect a different result?
Yes. Exactly.
You know, in all fairness, they are reviewing it with an accounting firm. And so hopefully the accounting firm will be able to get to the bottom of what the actual scores are supposed to be. I will say it's rather disconcerting when a member of the Cannabis Commission says, hey, I don't feel like we're getting the right amount of information, or nor are we putting this information out in front of the public in a proper fashion. I think whenever you have somebody like that saying that on the commission, it's time to take a step back and let's reevaluate kind of what's going on a little bit here.
Well, they overburdened the commission. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you have the best and the brightest always on some of these commissions. I think there are conflicts of interest in the commission itself.
Yes.
But regardless, they have a duty to get this right for the citizens, not for the people that are going to supply the cannabis, but they got to get it right that it's fair to them, so that they can make hundreds of millions of dollars and it not be wasted on lawsuits in Alabama.
Well, and it's like Josh said, let's reevaluate. Let's not just take one little piece and just fix this one. Why don't we take this opportunity to reevaluate the entire process here and see if there's a better way to get this done and done right?
You know, you're just being so unfair.
Let's just be logical. Seriously? I mean, for the love of God, put some logic into what you're doing.
That's not the way government works. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. In Alabama, we dare to defend our wrongs, and we love paying lawyers a lot of money to do so on our behalf, which is the case in the anti-trans care law that Alabama passed. It is likely to fail. A Trump-appointed federal judge has said that the state is likely to lose this case. Yet, Josh, you discovered this week, we're spending a lot of money to defend our wrongs.
Yeah, we paid $1.7 million in contracts back in January. We had another million approved, right at a million, just under, I think it's $975,000 worth of contracts approved for five attorneys from D.C. Apparently, that's the other problem that we have is we can't find any attorneys around, even in the Southeast, to defend these things. So we've had to go to D.C. To a little boutique law firm up there that defends all of the conservative laws. And so we've paid those guys $975,000 this month and or for the next year. And then we had to the other contracts for $1.75 million that goes into this. We don't know. I'll tell you what's interesting is we don't know how much they're going to pay expert witnesses for the next go around of legal stuff in the court, because those things can now be hidden thanks to our legislature that allowed the AG's office to redact expert witnesses from contract review, which is where I found these contracts that they put in for these attorneys. And yeah, it's another case, much like our prison lawsuits, of where we're paying just boatloads of cash to outside attorneys, when I would have to think that an inside attorney could lose it just as well as the outside attorneys are going to lose it. Because they're going to lose it.
And we have hundreds of staff attorneys around the state. We the AG has a bunch of attorneys. They have a lot. And yet we have to hire these people. And this is sort of nonsense. I mean, we're going to lose the case. It's going to happen.
Yes, we are.
But we'll spend millions of dollars defending something that is based on a religious belief that is not shared by everybody. But that goes back to the Tuberville thing. They think that this is a white Christian nation.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got people without health care. We're lacking rural hospitals. We're lacking roads and bridges needed. Construction. We're lacking in so many other places, but they're willing to throw this money at their religious ideals.
Yeah, and again, I'm not knocking the religion.
I'm not either.
I'm just saying religion and politics are terrible mix.
They should never mix.
But again, if you have a, would you like it? The majority, just because you're Christian, doesn't mean the whole nation is. That's my point there.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point, but even if we set that aside, okay, at a point in the actual legal process, you've got to present facts that will persuade a federal judge or a federal jury to be on your side. And so far, in all of these cases, whether it be in Arkansas or North Carolina or wherever, and including this one in Alabama, what they have presented has been absolute horse stuff. They've gone to Australia and to Canada to get quote unquote experts to talk about this, which even a Trump appointed judge scoffed at these experts that they were able to round up and said, what are you even doing talking in here? You have not even treated any of these kids. And that's the problem, is because when you actually set this in front of a judge and say, here's what we're trying to stop, what they're trying to stop is a medical process that plays out over months that includes various heavily degreed individuals in the medical profession that have come up with a process to deal with transgender children. And when you actually look at that process, it's not a crazy liberal parent walking in with their kid and saying, oh, I would like for him to have a sex change tomorrow, please. It's something that goes on for years before there is any sort of even medication provided to these children.
Right.
And to boil it down into the talking points that scare the hell out of everybody is one thing. To put it in front of a judge and have that judge side with you is something completely different. And even the Trump-appointed judges are saying, no way.
Well, the thing is, this is about families. that are dealing with an issue that most families never wanted to deal with. I would say all families do not want to deal with this, but they're doing what's best they feel for their children. And it shouldn't be the government that comes between a parent, their child, and their health care provider. That is anti-U.S. Policy. It should be anti-U.S. policy.
It should be everybody's policy, you know?
Yeah, we should not come between parents, their children, and their medical professional. But
It is a medical condition. It's not like Josh says, you know, a mother goes in and says, well, my husband actually wanted a boy instead of a girl. Can you fix it?
That's not what this is. And these people are dealing with very, very emotional situation here, and they love their children.
Yes.
It, just because you in the legislature do not love their children doesn't mean that the children don't deserve love.
Yeah.
I want to move on before I sound too preachy here, but there was a column in the state's largest news organization this week that said that queer was the new black. Mm-hmm. And that drew some real criticism because what it did was it compared the struggle of gay individuals in today's world to the struggle of African American and black individuals in the United States. Mm-hmm. And Mary Moore wrote a column for us in where she pushed back against that notion, and I've heard this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You can't compare one group's struggle to another group's struggle.
Right.
They're different. I mean, if you are a gay individual, you were not brought here in chains. Your legacy is not of that.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of persecution of gay individuals throughout history and throughout the world. It is not the same, though, Josh.
Well, I've got to put it in her words right here. Josh, because I thought this was very poignant. She said, every marginalized, oppressed, or underrepresented group of people has a unique and important story to tell. Equating their very different struggles with a broad brush simply disrespects, diminishes, and trivializes their stories.
Okay, Josh, you got about a minute. Sum it up for us.
You know, what you get into here is a problem. And listen, this was written by Kyle Whitmire, a friend of mine. I like Kyle a lot. I like his stuff. But it's it does get into, I understand the hurt that it can cause sometimes as well, because you get into weighing discrimination, you know, and that's not something that ever really works out. And, you know, I've had a lot of black folks that I've talked to about this column and about, you know, that this idea in the first place. And they say, you know, we understand the struggle, and we're always going to side against discrimination in the legislature and against these bills that come along that discriminate against gay people and the LGBT community. But, you know, when you talk about equating those things, they you know, one of my good friends said, you know, every day I wake up and when I walk outside, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that I'm a black person.
That's right.
I think that's where they take a stand against, you know, trying to do the equating of the discrimination.
Right.
And, you know, I understand that Kyle's intentions was good with the column that he wrote.
Oh, yeah.
But I also understand how it can cause some hurt feelings on the other side of this.
Absolutely. We're going to have to leave it right there. As my old pap used to say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We'll be right back.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology, advanced recycling.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles. and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Welcome back to The B, the voice of Alabama politics. Now, I find this next one funny if it were not such a serious matter. You know, some members of the legislature that I have not named because they really, like Tuberville, want to have their name in the press and make themselves relevant. And I think they're irrelevant when they make dumb comments. They want to cut funding to Archives and History, we all know, because they had a luncheon that talked about gay history. I mean, you wouldn't want to talk about gay history at a luncheon at the Archives and History. Never happened.
Right.
You wouldn't want that. Anyway, Patrick Darrington, once again, interviewed Dr. Sullivan, who was the co-founder of Invisible History Project, that gave the lecture. And she said that these people that want to erase history, that want to defund Archives and History for teaching history, are comparable to fascists. Now, other propaganda news organizations around the state took it all out of context. But if you historically look at fascism, this is exactly what they do. They erase history, they burn books, they claim white nationalism. I mean, that's what fascists do. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of their thing.
Yeah, it's kind of on the list when you sign up. These are the things you're going to do. Come on and join us. And that's what they do. It's you know, it was interesting to see how a lot of her words were kind of contorted to fit a certain narrative of, yeah, well, at least she admitted she was talking about sex. Well, yeah, you know, when we show up and your wife is pregnant and you say, hey, my wife is pregnant, I guess that's technically about sex as well, you know? I mean, it's just, it's such a stupid thing to act as if this was somehow harmful for children to learn that gay people exist. And, you know, it's so, I'll say again, so many of our problems in this state and so much of our hateful legislation is born out of a place of self-loathing by a lot of the people who push it. And I think some people need to really examine why they have such a problem with some of these things and maybe come to grips with a better lifestyle.
Well, you know, first of all, Ms. Sullivan said that this was not directed at children. Children weren't even present. This was not a lecture for children. Children were not involved in this at all.
Right.
How many school children can go to a lunch, get out of school and go to a luncheon at Archives during the middle of a day?
And who wants to, right?
Yeah. Right.
I was going to say. Yeah, my daughter's all the time clamoring to go to Archives for the luncheons. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
But the thing is, and again, this is a Republican point now where they make everything gay, transgender, all the, they're obsessed with it because it polls well. And so they can be seen as tough. But what they really are bullies.
Thank you.
And there was a time in this world where we didn't like bullies, but there is a segment, not everyone in the Republican Party, that loves the bully.
And what are we trying to teach our school children now? To report bullies.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, these guys are making examples of how to be a good bully.
Well, and that's one of the things, and the folks that print this stuff should be just embarrassed because, and they're not, because they're getting paid to write this kind of propaganda nonsense. Because what they did is they took Dr. Sullivan's words completely out of context, where she said, of course, yes, it was about sex, in the same way that her, heir to the throne would be about sex, a man and wife getting married is about sex.
Or
she said it was not
about
explicitly
sex.
About sex at all. But
I'll
they
tell
left
you this.
All that bit off.
I'll tell you this, if you're worried about children being introduced to things about sex, you better keep them away from the Bible. Because
there's a lot of sex in the Bible.
A lot of sex in the Bible.
A lot of genealogy in there, too.
A lot of sex
about
in the Bible.
Sex.
Well, you
about
know,
sex with whom?
You can't get here without it, and you probably don't want to leave it behind when you go.
No.
But there it is. I don't know. That may be too much for a Sunday morning. Redistricting. Can they get it right? No.
Well, we will, because we'll let somebody else impartial draw the maps for us. So yeah,
that's
yeah.
the only we'll get it right way. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, the legislature, from everything we can see, is not going to try to come to some grand compromise. I know that leadership, at least as I understand it, does want to go with a plaintiff map to try to make it as fair as possible. But there are plenty of their members and members of the GOP that want to, and they want to take this and make it a referendum and say that, no, Democrats are that hated. Blacks, or they can't win elections. And this is, but that is not the leadership. That's not Kay Ivey. That is certain fragments of the Republican
Party. Those sort of fragments also like to kick dirt in people's face, like kicking dirt in Supreme Court's face, saying, oh, no, you're not going to tell us what to do. But you know what? They better listen, because if they don't, the Supreme Court will have it done for them.
Well, Josh, you know, when I was a kid, I went to school, and there was a big bully, and he just picked on everybody, and so one day, I got about four other guys that had been picked on, and we went after that guy. And after we got through with him, we threw him in the dumpster. Teacher came by and said, did y'all throw that guy in the dumpster? And I went, yep. She said, good. They don't pay me enough to get him out either. That's what we need to do to the bullies here. Put him in the dumpster.
It would be nice if there were a group of Republicans in the state who would take a stand against some of this stuff. It would be. We hear from them a lot. We talk to them on a regular basis. We know that they know that these things that are being said and some of the ideas that are being pushed are wrong and that they're hurtful. Just like the transgender stuff. You know, we can all sit around and have conversations about the transgender children, but you're actually hurting transgender kids. Some will die because of what we've tried to do with this care ban, because we know of the suicide rates among those groups of kids. But so, it would be nice if from time to time somebody would come along and throw somebody in a dumpster on the other side.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I have a problem with, because they're afraid that they won't get reelected if they stand up. But you know what? I think there's some things worth losing for.
Yes.
You know, to stand up and be principled rather than cowing to that small majority of the Republican
base. Take a lesson from the governor of Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And Liz Cheney. Let's not forget Liz Cheney. Well, she stood up to Trump and lost her seat, but willingly did so she could speak the truth.
Well, it comes from hardy stock. If you mess with them, they will bomb you back to the stomach.
Shoot you right in the face.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.